everyone. Welcome. Amanda Grace here with you. We are live. Today is December 30th, 2024. We are 2 days away from the new year in 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. We are so happy to have you with us. We are definitely... It's just real interesting right now, I'll say. We're going to get into that. But man, there are some things I want to say that I think are going to get me in trouble with the Lord if I say them. So I'm going to be very careful how I say things tonight, because there's just a lot going on. There is a lot going on with wars and rumors of wars, shall we say. Within the government and the church, and we're going to get into that as well. So welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for everybody coming in. Hello, hello to everybody. Let's see who's coming in. Oh, let's see here. We got people coming in from, I see Pennsylvania. Australia. Hello to our friends in Sydney, Australia, our international audience. Rhode Island. We love Rhode Island. Texas. God bless Texas. North Dakota. Let's see who else is coming in. I'm watching. Wisconsin. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Kentucky. Netherlands. Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you here. Washington State, South Carolina. Shalom to you. California. And welcome to everybody else jumping on. Also, our friends in Canada are coming on. We welcome you. We love our friends and our neighbors in Canada. So welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world, to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I want to open up in prayer in all fear and reverence for the Lord right now. Before I say the things I'm going to say. Oh, Bronx, New York. Hello to our friends in Bronx, New York. I mean, that's my stomping ground. That's where I'm from. Very happy to have our neighbors here from the Bronx. So let's open up in prayer, because I want to come before the Lord in all fear and reverence before I say what I'm going to say. Some of the things sometimes you have to say are not easy, as Sadie's hair is like flying all over the place here and I'm trying to get it out of my eye. But let's come before the Lord in prayer first. I always like to do that first and cover myself and this broadcast, because it's about the Lord. It's not about me. I'm just the vessel, right? Man shouldn't be worshipped. We're just vessels. We are broken vessels that are put upon the wheel of the potter that the Lord fills, that he uses for his glory, for his kingdom, and for his purpose. So don't mind me here for a second, because Sadie's hair, one of them, got into my eye. So what else is new around here at the sanctuary, huh? It is all over my keyboard. Thank you to the Give-A-Derm ladies, because they got me a little cleaning. GPS signal lost. Isn't that, did you just hear that? That was my phone all of a sudden going GPS signal lost. So, you know, isn't that interesting? Okay, I just want to get ready here. I want to get ready because there was hair all over my keyboard from Sadie, because she jumped up here right before we went live. So as everybody's jumping in, let's open up in prayer, and we're going to get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, Father God, knowing that we are sinners, Father God, that we are fallible, Father God. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, ask you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Forgive us of every way we sin and fall short. The word of God says the righteous man sins 7 times a day. Father, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, Father God. Help us to do better for you, Lord. Father, we just praise you. Your mercies are new every single day, that while weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. And Father, we just acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. That blood sprinkled onto the mercy seat. It purchased us. It redeemed us, Lord. It reconciled us back to you, Father God. We were bought with the highest price, the precious, priceless blood of Jesus Christ. And he miraculously rose again in 3 days. He ascended back to heaven. He took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is our advocate before your throne without ceasing, Lord. And we honor that before you this day, Father God. In all fear and trembling, Father God, we come before you this night. We invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place, Lord. Father, we just invite your powerful presence to move, Father God, that the weight of your glory would fall, that your presence would mightily go forth, that people would tangibly feel your presence and you moving, Father God, that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the counselor, would go forth and minister and counsel, Lord, tonight to those watching. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. And allow me, Lord, the humble privilege, Father, of being a vessel of your power. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you fill me and those watching with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord, with the insight, acuity, and accuracy, Father God, for me to speak forth what you have to say, Father God, what you want, when you, how you want it said, Father God, this night, Lord, and help me to be discerning, Father God, of your voice, to hear your voice, know your voice, and as strangers, I will not follow, and those watching will not follow, Father God. Lord, we just ask you, send your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround and protect this broadcast right now, Father God, to fill this place, this office, this property, to make a hedge, a shield, and a wall of protection, Father God, as we go forth in you, that in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every work of darkness, iniquity, plot, scheme, contract, assignment, sabotage that would be attempted. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ right now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it bound up and cast back to the dry places, pits, and areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you, Lord. Every breath we take, without your breath of life in us, we are the dust of the earth, Father God. We truly are nothing without you, Father God. You take us in all our brokenness, our sin, our shame. You place us upon the potter's wheel. You remold us, Father God, and you fill us for your glory, Lord. And we praise you for that tonight, Lord. We give you all the glory, Father God, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. I just wanted to pray a little longer. I felt that. Whew. Okay. So I'm going to give you a quiz in a few minutes to see who wants something played that I happen to have. But we have to go to scripture first. We have to go to scripture. I'm starting off with scripture tonight because what I have to say, there is a lot going on at the same time within the government, within the church, certain things happening at the Vatican, all happening simultaneously. And we have to take note that these events are all happening simultaneously. And so I'm going to read scripture first. So we're going into this biblically. And then we're going to get into what I have to say. And probably some people tonight are going to get a talking to. They might. But let's get into the word first. So we're going to start with 2 Timothy 3:1-7. So I'm just going to read two excerpts before I get into what I have to say. 2 Timothy 3:1-7 says, "But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane." Unloving, devoid of natural human affection, it says in parentheses, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness, which is religion, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people and keep far away from them, for among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women, weighed down by sins, easily swayed by various impulses. So apparently Timothy thinks women can be swayed easily, according to these scriptures too. Always learning and listening to anybody who will teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because they only superficially go so far. I'm adding that. That's not actually in the scripture. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable. Be ready in season and out of season. Okay. Correct, warn, exhort, and encourage. Correct, warn, exhort, and encourage with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. Okay, that's what we're stepping into tonight, okay? So I want you to keep that scripture in mind, those two scriptures, as we go forth. December 20th, 2024, I had said something. I had warned of something, and we're watching it happen. So December 20th, 2024, I had said, professional arsonists start a smoldering fire. I believe this was in the word of the Lord. Professional arsonists start a smoldering fire by a door. And the smoldering fire that lacks oxygen. When a door opens, oxygen flows in. It causes an explosion and makes it 10 times worse. There is going to be a backdraft in the church. The door is about to be opened. There is going to be a backdraft in the church. The door is about to be opened. When you breathe life onto something, it becomes your creation. The Jewish word for soul and breath actually is the same word. What we say, we are held accountable for this. God will hold all accountable for what they say. You have to serve God, not man. Man is fallible. We are just vessels that the Lord fills. He fills all to point back to him and a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. You cannot lead with emotion. I said this all December 20th. You have to use discernment. You have to lead with the discernment of God, not how your emotions are feeling. And I had written that the Lord was about to bear down conviction. He doesn't need our help to do that. He's about to bear down conviction. That judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And that surrender, obedience, and sacrifice right now are all keys. So I said this December 20th, 2024. And if you can, please share this broadcast. I'm going to ask you in a little while to tag two individuals on X, who I'm going to be addressing in a bit, but we'll hold for that for now. But when the time comes, the Holy Spirit, I think, is grieved at messes that are being made in the church and in the government right now. Messes that are being made by people who are too intellectual for their own good. Messes being made by people who are too stubborn for their own good. And I believe the Holy Spirit is grieved. And the flying monkeys have been sent out to do the dirty work of certain people in the Christian world and in the government. Now, how many of you out there on the chat would like me to play from The Wizard of Oz, the flying monkeys clip? We're going to take a vote. If you want me to play that clip, say yes. If you want me to play the short 13-second clip we have of the flying monkeys being released by the Wicked Witch of the West, say yes. because I think it's quite prophetic and profound right now. Because there's a lot of yeses. There's a lot of yeses. I saw one no on X. Okay. I wonder if we could play it up where, like, it's less than 13 seconds. Can we? No, we can't. They said we can't. We have to play the whole 13 seconds if we're going to watch it. Because I think this is just really pertinent to the dark nature of things that seem to be going on. Well, the flying monkeys are super creepy, but you know what? This is what's happening. All right, maybe we'll play it in a few minutes. Let me just say what I'm going to say first, and maybe we'll play the flying monkeys clip. But you all get the picture. The flying monkeys, right? They were released to be agitators, tormentors. They were released by somebody very dark that was operating in something very dark. Okay. So we see they've been released. And I was waiting for this moment, and I warned about a backdraft. And it happened in the political arena first. June 8th, from the stage of Detroit, Michigan, at Reawaken America, I gave the political backdraft word. And now it's happening in the church. And don't worry, we're going to get to the government in just a few minutes. So just buckle up here, because we got a lot to cover. So the backdraft is happening in the church now. And I have to say, this situation, and I'm going to try to say this in all respect, what I'm about to say, but this situation with Christian broadcasting, having to do with the day, has been handled all wrong. And it has turned into Peyton Place meets the Kardashians. That Peyton Place meets the Kardashians. What should have happened is the heads of these Christian broadcasting companies should have said, I'm taking my hands off of this. I want to be righteous before the Lord. Let the investigators come in. Let the police investigate. Let investigators do their due diligence. And whatever happens from that, and according to their findings, I will act accordingly and deal accordingly with all parties involved. That is what should have happened. And I'm going to tell you something about this situation with Christian broadcasting right now. And you all know what I'm talking about, many of you. I'm not going to get back into the salaciousness of what has gone on. With Christian broadcasting companies, but I'm going to say this. They not only hit the iceberg, they done backed up the ship and hit the iceberg a second time. So hitting the iceberg the first time wasn't bad enough. They done backed up the ship and hit the iceberg a second time. Up, I see you, iChurch. Yep, he just came in the room. Okay. The impact from hitting an iceberg once should be enough to make you rethink your course. But nope, they said, we got to back it up. We got to hit it again because we just haven't learned our lesson. And when you see people that come on and introduce themselves with a title in a Christian broadcasting company and go on and they go on to how important they claim they are and claim they know very little about social media, but somehow they know terms like clickbait and they know terms, they know stats, they know back office stats, and they try to minimize people. They try to minimize people that were on their platform at one point. And my question is, where was Daystar's discernment when they had these people on their platform to begin with that now they want to demonize? Where was your discernment if it's so good? That is my question. And I'm saying that with all due respect, Because I bet about 2 weeks before that, they were singing the praises of these people who have now left these platforms. And now they're coming out and trying to demonize them. Where was your discernment when they came on in the first place? So you see the flying monkeys are being sent out in the church and the government. And there are some in this who did not learn their lesson the first time. When fools rushed in for interviews and exposure and made a mess, and now they say they've learned their lesson, but they publicly go on and they do it again. And God is not your defender, O ye of little faith, if you have to come on and threaten. Apparently, you do not think God is capable of a defense for you by your actions. Being you have let your pride, you have let it get puffed up, you've let it step in front of you again, and apparently you think your mouth is bigger than your God. When someone says they are leaving a situation alone, they wash their hands of it, and any other way you want to put it, and steps right back into it, well, then they have not learned the lesson the Lord is attempting to teach them yet. When you start saying things like, I am the only one, I am the only one, me, 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 you are stepping into the same narcissism Elijah the prophet stepped into, where the Lord had to correct him when Elijah said, I'm the only one left who hasn't bowed to Baal. And the Lord stopped Elijah. He said, slow your roll, Elijah. There are 7,000 in the land who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You may be the loudest, but you're not the only one. You may be the loudest. You may be the most boastful. But behind the scenes, there are people that talk to many people behind the scenes and just don't make a show of it. And I will tell you, had this whole situation been handled righteously and with wisdom from the beginning, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, no one would have ever heard about this publicly. And that's what's sad. It trickles down from the head. How the head acts, the body will follow. How the head acts, the body will emulate. If the head manipulates, the body will follow. And that is all I have to say about that right now. Because we have a lot more to get into tonight. But I wanted to say that in all due respect, because it literally has become Peyton Place meets the Kardashians. And I have never seen a telenovela like this play out in the Christian broadcasting arena. And now, to make you all laugh for a minute, before I get into this, we're going to play the La Cucaracha song for just a couple of seconds. This is what it's come to. Isn't that sad? Yep. Isn't that sad? That is what it has come to. But you see flying monkeys being sent out in the form of drones right now that nobody seems to know where they're coming from. People have ideas. But you have flying monkeys being sent out with drones, with the government, with the church. And the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved. Because had parties in this said, I want to be righteous before the Lord, even if I think they're wrong, even if I think accusations are wrong, let me be right before the Lord and let me allow an investigation to take its course. And I will deal with all parties accordingly when it is done. They could have set the standard. They could have set the standard. Because we have to be the standard as the church. Not that we're perfect, not that we ever can be perfect, because we will never be perfect. But a standard could have been set. A standard. We are supposed to be the standard. Those President Trump right now is putting on the transition team as well as in positions are supposed to be the standard. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes because they ain't acting like it. Because I told you, the church and the government are running parallel right now. The church and the government are running parallel. What's happening in the political is happening in the church. What's happening in the church is happening in the political. And we're coming into January, starting off with a bang. And I want to play this for you because we have released a clip of this, of how January was going to start with a bang, and I truly believe it is. Let's play the clip for them now. A bang in January, says the Lord, a bang in January, around that time, says the Lord. They plot for blood at this time, says the Lord. However, for such you shall be ripped from your seats of influence in the bureaus and the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon, says the Lord, for you have been allured with the aroma of another 9/11 to turn the nation. You have been allured with delicate dainties that are deceit, says the Lord. All capitals. It is a deception, and I shall uncover you, says the Lord. Your plots, your deceptions, your working with nations involved in war to turn America on a chain where you want it to go. You foul, perverse leaders. You foul, perverse agencies. I shall turn you, says the Lord. Another Strauch and Page, says the Lord. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. You know, we have to, especially in the prophetic, when we look at something, how we feel doesn't matter as much as how God feels. I could not like something, but the Lord could have something else to say about it, and I have to speak what the Lord wants me to speak. And that's why I'm saying the Holy Spirit is grieved, because there is a giant distraction happening. And yes, exposure has to happen, and yes, things have to come out in the open, and yes, God will come to you many times privately before he'll ever come to you publicly. God will come to somebody so many times privately to get them to course correct and deal with a situation that's going to cause destruction. And he will come to them so many times privately before they truly dig in their heels and they go into rebellion, where he brings it to a crisis point publicly in order to force those involved to deal with it. He does that with nations. He does that with leaders. He does that in the church. And January is going to start off with a bang. And do you know the last time the Lord used the words January and bang with me was 2 weeks before January 6th happened. So 4 years ago, he used the words bang and January. He hasn't used it with me since. He just used it again after 4 years on this date when this clip, we put it out from that word of the Lord. Now, April 22nd, 2024. I'm reading this to you because the church and the government are running parallel right now, which means if this is a warning for the government, this is a warning for the church. And I, the Lord, am warning boastful congresswomen. Now, it doesn't have to totally be congresswomen, but boastful congresswomen who enjoy and crave the spotlight, who point fingers at the specks of dust in the eyes of leadership. When you have a large log in your own eye that you have refused to deal with, and it has cost you your family, says the Lord. I warn you, watch what you speak in this time, or your seat will be replaced. It will, for you crave salacious exploits and thrive in the outlandish to keep a spotlight on yourself that is about to go dim. This applies to the government, to Congress, and the church right now, because it's running parallel. And that was April 22nd, 2024. Now, June 8th, 2024 was the political backdraft word, because the backdraft happened in the political arena first, and now we're seeing it happen in the church. What is a backdraft? when a smoldering fire starts and a door is opened and a ton of available oxygen is given to that fire and there's an explosion. A door is opened and a bunch of oxygen is breathed on that situation and there's an explosion. Kind of like what we see happening right now. June 8th, 2024, the root shall and will be dug up in a public excavation before the people. For the wicked have mixed in sand with the soil and it has weakened the root. Thus says the Lord, that door is about to open and this nation must prepare for the enormous political backdraft that will occur because of a door suddenly opening. Your leaders should tremble, for scrolls have entered Washington, D.C., and they are about to be opened by angels prepared to overturn it at the opening of these scrolls. My church, now is your hour to rise up and be the voice crying in the wilderness, proclaiming the way of salvation and leading a very lost nation through this dark valley. You are the light of the world, the city on a hill. And if part of the church wants to die in that valley, this was June 8th, of dry bones, then continue on, my little flock. Prophesy to the valley of bones in your nation that the grave will release its grip and your nation comes forth from the tomb of Sodom. It was so placed in. Know this day, I am God, there is no other. A historic and unprecedented time calls for such measures. The sword of the spirit and your faith, my children, is what will make a very broken nation a new vessel upon the wheel of the potter. The winds of change shall suddenly bring a storm that is one of judgment and correction. Prepare, my children. The desperation they so unleash will be what causes their fall. Pride, capital, shall now be their judge and jury. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in Jesus' name. Now that was given June 8th from Detroit, Michigan. Because the church and the political are running parallel, this was given for the political first, but this was a roadmap for the church. That's why the Lord says in part of this, with the backdraft, if part of the church wants to die in that valley, then continue on, my little flock. So this was a roadmap for not only what was going to happen in the nation, but was about to happen in the church. And this was given June 8th, 2024. Now, I'm going to take you back to November 16th, 2018, because everything I'm about to talk about is happening simultaneously. You have things erupting in the church, in the political, all at the same time, all kind of coming to this precipice, right? All coming to this crescendo moment. And I'm going to take you back 6 years. November 16th, 2018. This is on our old blog. So we have Amanda's blog and the ministry blog on arcofgrace.org. And if you click Amanda's blog, that's our older blog that takes you back to 2018. November 16th, 2018. I had talked about that the Lord had given me a dream a year prior. So I held on to this dream for a year before I released it and took me underground under the Vatican, where there were tunnels, rooms, arches, steps, things of that nature. There were witches, one disappearing and reappearing. There were warlocks. There were court jesters. There were animal-like demonic figures, and they were doing this all around me. However, no one could harm me or basically come near me for the most part because I was under the protection of Almighty God. So when I see this under the Vatican in the dream, I awoke and I realized from that there were more satanic things going on underground within the Vatican than maybe we realized at that point. Underneath the Vatican were rumblings of hell, witchcraft, sorcery. Why do you think child abuse with priests has increased, says the Lord? That is of the occult in an attempt to split the soul, to program those children to be pawns for the spiritually dead. That's what the Lord said. And then the Lord said, Satan himself has walked the underground, even the interior of the Vatican, says the Lord. The Vatican priests are playing with fire, glazing over God's word for good reason. What people do not know, they are programmed easier in the direction the heads of the Vatican want them to go. The Vatican is a spiritual mess with unclean spirits from all religions walking inside its walls. Consulting of spirits are happening in underground chambers, asking these spirits, these demon princes, for influence over whole countries, as long as they do the bidding and plant the seed of one world religion. And then I had written about an assassination attempt against the Pope. To watch for this and watch for strange signs around the Vatican. Newsworthy that will confirm these words and events in Jesus' name. So this is November of 2018 that I put this out. And we're going to go right up the line here and then I'll talk about it. March 29th, 2020. You'll understand why I'm bringing this up in the middle of all this. March 29th, 2020. It is another wonder an absolutely holy God is allowing judgments to begin to deal with these countries. The hammer and the sickle, the axe and the sickle. Germany, here the altar of Zeus, the throne of Satan, is housed. It is a wonder we are seeing these events stirring around Purim into Passover. So March 29, 2020, the Lord talks about he talks about countries with the hammer and the sickle. And then he says the axe and the sickle. And I never understood that till now. I never understood till something happened at the Vatican why the Lord said the hammer and the sickle. And we'll get into it in a moment. January 25th, 2024. I am God, there is no other. My eyes wander to and fro throughout the earth, and I, the Lord, am looking at France. I am looking at Macron. I see the scandal, says the Lord. Enormous will shake the foundation of France and the socialist principalities, principles it is built upon. For he is a front man for another with ties that bind to the Vatican. And to the World Economic Forum, says the Lord, those two will attempt to merge and create one organization, says the Lord. The Vatican so shall attempt to merge with the Forum and create a new entity. It shall fail, says the Lord, for it is built upon godlessness and self-indulgence. They think their thinking has ascended. Instead, it shall descend even further in the pits of brimstone, says the Lord. This is all stuff because something happened at the Vatican on Christmas. We have to take note of, because it's part of the, international, shall we say, church. Something happened there, and we're going to get into it in a moment. May 6, 2024, thus says the Lord, the Vatican, smoke from their chimneys, a changing of the guard, for every foul, perverse spirit is feasting at their table, and they have praised the gods of gold and silver and the serpent of the rainbow. They have praised their saints and the work of their hands. I, the Lord, have given mercy in time, and in this time their altar shall be broken as well, says the Lord, as well as the place of my capital son who died at Calvary, cleansed of its relics in this time. For I, the Lord, am calling you back to holiness. And that's capitalized. Hi, Cyrus. October 14th, 2024. Come here. Thus says the Lord, Europe shall have a large turnover in leadership in this time, for they have been weighed and the Vatican has been weighed, and their heads shall be paid their wage in this time for leading people astray away from the Lord and wrapping your arms around what is egregious to me. Why is he paying them their wage? For leading people away from the Lord and wrapping their arms around what is egregious to God. That is a word for the whole church right now. Do not lead people away and astray from the Lord and cause them to wrap their arms around what is egregious to God. One of the largest money scandals shall come forth from the Vatican in this time, says the Lord. I see what you have done, and I have given time to rectify, yet you have funneled and sent to my enemies to do horrific exploits within the earth. This shall be exposed. Smoke from the chimney of the Vatican is coming in this season, says the Lord. And May 6, 2022. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, what is I want to go to the Vatican for a minute. So when I talked about the hammer and the sickle, the Vatican, and I don't know if we can find an article for this, but they opened up a door Christmas Day, more like a portal. Thank you. And Pope and Jubilees, the opening of the holy door. So he uses a hammer. to knock on the door, I believe. So a hammer is used to knock on this door and to open it on Christmas Day. Now, what did the Lord say March 29, 2020? It is another wonder an absolutely holy God is allowing judgments to begin to deal with these countries. The hammer and the sickle. So the countries that deal with the hammer and the sickle, and then he says the axe and the sickle. Then he goes to Germany. The hammer was used to open this door, so God is dealing with Italy. The hammer was used to open this door, which I believe was a portal of some sort. And there's the picture right there of the hammer that also looks kind of like a sickle. And this, it happens on Christmas Day. And this portal, this door, whatever you want to call it, gets opened. And this is another part of the church that God is dealing with, where he has given time, he has given mercy, he has come to them privately over and over again, and they have refused to deal because they think they're too big. And now in this time, because they opened that door, is where we are going to see some of the greatest exposure from the Vatican come forth in history. Why? Because it's an appointed time for it. They call it a jubilee. It is going to be God's jubilee. It's not going to be their jubilee. And it's because judgment begins in the house of God. And God has allowed a lot of time to get certain things right. And the appointed time has come where the cup of iniquity has become full, where these things have refused to be dealt with. And now God is pushing it to a point of having to deal with it. You see, what happens is when these things happen, they want to shoot the messenger to distract from the message. So when there is exposure, and when something happens and somebody doesn't want to be righteous before the Lord and they want to dig in their heels and cover it up, many times what they'll do is they'll try to shoot the messenger to distract from the message. To turn people away from the message, they begin to shoot the messenger. And all that does is amplifies the message and makes those involved look more guilty. And this is a classic tactic that is used, I believe, in crisis management, in management of companies. They will shoot the messenger. They will attack the messenger to detract and weaken the message. Instead of wanting to face the message and deal with the message and say, we have to get the message right. We have to do this right. We have to be righteous before God. We have to stand righteous before God because he has given us a great responsibility and what he has given us to steward. Therefore, we must act righteous before God. Instead of doing that, they choose to go on the attack like flying monkeys and shoot and attack the messengers. And the Vatican has done this over the years. Don't think they haven't. And this is why in this time, when that hammer came out with that door, I thought the hammer, and I saw this word, the hammer and the sickle, Italy. So I would keep your eyes on that. I would keep your eyes on that. Because there are people that are imprisoned at the Vatican. You want to talk about a jubilee that need to get set free. There are people following this in Italy that need to get delivered and set free right now. They do. So pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for what's happening in the Christian broadcasting arena. Pray. Pray because God is grieved. So pray. You have to pray. You have to like somebody to pray for them. In fact, Jesus says, you know, bless your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. That is biblically sound. That is biblically in alignment. And I encourage you to do that right now because they need it. because they are one step away from a pit. On top of this, if this is not enough for what's going on, Jimmy Carter dies at 100 3 days before 2025. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Jimmy Carter, the 39th president, dies. Now, can I just show you something very interesting here that because I watch patterns? Isn't one of the Christian broadcasting networks in their 39th year? Didn't they just come out of their 39th year? I find that interesting. And now Jimmy Carter passes away. What is it, 39 years after he became president? Was that what the article said? I just hyper-focused on the number 39 there because it triggered something. Oh, 39th president. He was the 39th president. So the 39th president dies at 100 years old. And on September 6, 2024, I had said something about this. I had said something about a 100-year cycle, that in 1924, the Olympics were in Paris, France, and the dictator of the Soviet Union, Lenin, died. And I had warned we were in a 100-year cycle. And in 2024, the Olympics happened to be in Paris, and Jimmy Carter dies because we're in a 100-year cycle. And he dies 3 days before the end of 2024. And I'm going to tell you, his death signifies two things. First of all, watch Iran. And I'll tell you why in a moment, but watch Iran. But also his death signifies and symbolizes the dying of the part of the root of the democratic agenda that began to be laid and stretched out from his presidency forward. And Jimmy Carter turns 100 around the time Iran launches 100 missiles at Israel. So when Carter was president, November 4th, 1979, the Iran hostage crisis happened. I was 2 months, I was 3 months old when this hostage crisis happened. The Iran hostage crisis happens while Carter was president. And it was a diplomatic standoff between Iran and the United States, and 53 American diplomats and citizens were held hostage in Iran after a group of armed Iranian college students belonging to the Muslim student followers of the Imam's line who supported the Iranian revolution, including Hossein Dagan, who was the future Iranian Minister of Defense. And then there was also Mohammad Ali Jafari, who was the future Revolutionary Guards Commander-in-Chief, and Mohammad Bagheri, future Chief of the General Staff of the Iranian Army. Took over the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took them as hostages. The hostages were held for 444 days. So there was a hostage crisis involving Iran and Carter. So now that this 100-year cycle has happened and Carter has passed, watch Iran. I'm telling you right now, watch Iran. It's part of this cycle. And 2024, if you subtract 1979 from 2024, you get 45 years. And you have the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump, who's now also the 47th, is facing his own Iranian crisis that is unfolding. So as a backdraft is happening in the church, and as Carter dies, civil war is appearing to erupt. As there appears to be a civil type of war or division happening within the church, even the leader of the Church of England has stepped down in this time. It has erupted in the political arena because they are running parallel right now. And what is happening in the political arena is happening in the church. And what is happening in the church is happening in the political arena. So now that we have showed that part of the church and the 100-year cycle with Carter, I'm going to take you to something that's erupting that I want to grab these two by their ears and sit them down and give them a good talking to. And I'm being very serious about that. Let's put up the article. because I don't know if all of you have seen this, but this is a type of civil war that is now erupting within the transition, that is erupting within the MAGA movement. And I warned you, when you get a bunch of intellectuals together, they can do nothing but gaslight situations because they don't have common sense. And this drives me nuts when this happens. And I had warned about this, that President Trump was taking all of these intellectuals, all of these unaltered bulls, putting them in a room together, and we don't think there's going to be a fight. So basically, yeah, Elon Musk used some very salty language. And he is now arguing with people on X, with Steve Bannon, over a few things. And Vivek Ramaswamy is involved in this one. So if we could scroll down, I'm going to show you, because this is something we have to watch right now. You want to talk about a bang in January? So if we could scroll up a bit so I could read. For the, at the beginning, there it is. Elon Musk's war on MAGA has gone nuclear. After the billionaire CEO blasted social media users' comments about H-1B visas Friday, and former Trump chief strategist Steve Bannon called him a toddler for his response. So you think this is only going on in the church, people? Oh, you think Peyton Place meets the Kardashians is only happening in the church? Nope. It's happening in the transition. Musk liked a post that asserted Americans are too retarded, to fill the country's tech workforce and support the idea that top roles should be taken up by better educated people from overseas. In response to Musk's perceived endorsement of the post, an ex-user going by the name Steve Mackey reposted a video of Musk from 2021 in which he spoke about SpaceX plans for a fully reusable rocket. Everyone's basically, without knowing it, they've got a mental straitjacket on. They'll work on optimizing the thing that should simply not exist, said Musk in the clip. And they were saying that's like H-1B, I guess how H-1B visas. And Mackey was saying H-1B visas should be something simply that do not exist. Now, we have another from Newsbreak. Another article, because this is erupting at the same time in the political and the church, right? And on top of it, apparently, you've got others childishly fighting in public being filmed, a.k.a. Laura Loomer and Milo. I'm very concerned for the country if this is what's happening. If these are the people right now, I'm sorry, I'm concerned for the country a little bit. Okay, Trump caught up in fight. He did not need due to unnecessary trouble making. An analyst says, at the time when Donald Trump's inner circle should be working on getting his cabinet nominees primed for getting Senate approval, now time is being spent tamping down on a foreign work controversy that has riled the president-elect's base, forcing him to have to weigh in. At the center of the controversy are comments made by Trump's advisors, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, about America needing more H-1B. Kind of sounds like H-1N-1, doesn't it? Foreign specialty workers, which has erupted into a war with Trump's MAGA base that has been promised America first policies. Appearing on CNN early Sunday morning, longtime political observer Lynn Sweet said the timing could not be worse, and it has forced Trump to take sides, which is not being well received. Speaking with host Amara Walker, the Chicago Sun-Times journalist, explained what we're seeing here is a civil war being triggered by the unelected advisors to President Trump. So let's just see where this goes. Immigration is the more important issue to the MAGA base. And now the Doge, you know, he appointed Musk and Ramaswamy to reform the government, have waded into an area of making policy. I very respectfully sounded the alarm on this. At least a month ago, that intellectuals, when you pack the room with them, have no ability to read the room, They have no ability most of the time to have common sense, and they will gaslight things and turn your issues into a dumpster fire of epic proportions that is going to do nothing but make a giant ball of distraction and noise. And this is what we see happening here. I'm sorry. I want to sit the two of them down, Elon and Vivek, you know, because, you know, those little demons around them that want power just can't keep their mouth shut. I want to sit them down, look right at them, and say, and I'm going to say this bluntly, people, so I apologize ahead of time, cut the crap. Stop it. You know why? Because intellectuals don't have an ability to see the root of something that is a spiritual, moral, or foundation familial, meaning a family, problem. Intellectuals have a hard time discerning if something at its root is a spiritual, moral, or, so if you'd like to tag Elon and Vivek, be my guest, or at the core, a family foundation problem, okay, or an ethic problem, right? A problem of ethics. They have a hard time sometimes reading the room on that. And when you're going to get a bunch of unaltered bulls and titans in the room and you expect them not to fight, that's like, oh, let's think of a really good comparison here. That's like putting Donald Trump in a room full of billionaires and expecting him not to speak. I mean, you just don't do that. You put up, you're going to have a clash of the titans going on. And now you're unofficially unelected advisors of the Doge are upsetting the MAGA base, are saying things they shouldn't be saying, are puffing up at their chest like roosters, you know, speaking up, and I'm trying to be respectful about this, but are puffing out their chest like roosters and are saying things and taking liberties they should not be taking. Why? Because when you stack the room with intellectuals again, you're going to have the same problem. And I'm going to make a comparison for you right now. When the Cold War was happening and the Olympics were happening and the U.S. hockey team faced Russia and Russia was undefeated, nobody could beat Russia. And the coach that was appointed to the U.S. Olympic team, they actually did a movie about it called Miracle, decided he was going to build his team a different way. And the coach decided he wasn't going to pick the players that were the best at each position. He was going to look for qualities within players that were going to be able to work well together as a team. So he wasn't going to pick the best, the most skilled. He was going to pick the one that had the qualities he was searching for to work together as a team. United we stand, divided we fall. And do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? The miraculous happened. And America beat Russia. The U.S. Olympic hockey team beat Russia. You know why? Because the coach was a visionary and he saw beyond and he didn't look on paper and say, well, he's the best lineman, he's the best goalie, they're the best in defense. No, he looked for who was teachable and coachable and agreeable and played well with teammates. And he started looking for qualities that on paper didn't look the best, but in real life would come together for a time and season where that is what was required. It wasn't the best and the brightest that was required. It was those with common sense, could think quick on their feet, could play well with teammates, could work together well, to come together at an appointed time when the Russians seemed unstoppable. And because the coach stepped outside the box and outside his ego of wanting the best, the miraculous happened. And I would suggest, with all due respect, that President Trump does the same. Because all these people that look good on paper to you, that have all these accolades and all these qualifications and all these intellectuals and rockets and companies and this and that, may not be who you need in this appointed time, in this appointed season, that can come together in agreement, work together well with others, and actually have the common sense qualities and the wisdom and the discernment that is needed to look beyond the superficial of a problem into the spiritual and moral and ethical root of it. That is what is needed. And instead, everybody with the shiniest accolades and the biggest companies and the biggest rockets and the fast talkers and the intellectuals were picked. And that is nothing but confusion. Because God wants you to, he didn't give you the presidency again to go back to 2016 and do things the same. He gave it to you to be a visionary, to look beyond the circumstances in this nation and start choosing people that were appointed for the time. Not people with a name. People who were appointed for the time. It's the same thing in the church. There's a changing of the guard. And that's why the Lord had told me to say that the Lord was going to sift the administration within the first 3 months of the presidency. He was going to sift it because on paper, these people look good. But he said inside, they're very broken people. You cannot put broken people in a situation to be able to see morally and spiritually beyond the surface to deal with issues. You need to have the vision and the out-of-the-box thinking that that head coach had for the U.S. hockey team that beat Russia. Because that's how he beat them. He didn't put a bunch of alphas on a team together and say, okay, guys, get along, because that ain't happening. He put servants on that team. That coach put true servants on that team. Not people that have their intellectual head, you know where, but true servants. And that's what's needed right now. Because I'm watching this happen and I'm watching this play out, and it is noise, it is a distraction, it is people overstepping, it is people thinking that they have been given a seat at a table of pay to play, just calling it like it is. They've been given a seat at a table of pay to play, and now they think they have the floor to just say whatever they want to say. And yes, there are some people there that have been appointed by God and they don't even know yet they've been appointed by God. And there are some people there that have gotten in through money and means and are just there to make noise. Because inside they are a broken little child just looking for a father. And that is what's happening right now. That is what's happening right now. And some of it might be purposeful to draw out, but some of it is causing noise and distraction. It's the same thing in the church right now. Some of it is purposeful to draw out. Some of it is noise, distraction, Kardashians meets Peyton Place. Because it's happening right now around the president and his transition team. And I'm going to tell you something. These are the things that Nathan had to say when it wasn't easy, because David was going to throw the kingdom. These are things Nathan had to say. Now, April 28th, 2023. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, this election cycle that is coming upon you shall be the most baffling, shocking, and head-scratching that has occurred. There shall be unexpected surfacings, and there shall be a parting of the parties, and independents shall rise who do not want to be chained either to the marching elephants or the backbiting donkeys, says the Lord, beholden to neither side. There shall be, capitals, a deep gap and split, and civil war within one party. This was the word of the Lord, April 28th, 2023. A deep gap and split in a civil war within one party, a gaping hole, says the Lord, including in a monument. What a spectacle, says the Lord. This is what we're seeing now, that civil war. They're calling it civil war. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to weaken the root. It's going to weaken the call. It's going to weaken the purpose. And it's going to give a dying Democratic Party one last chance at life. And that cannot be. May 26, 2023. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, a civil capital war, says the Lord. Civil. And then he says, a war of cases in the court shall flood the system going into 2024. A case of the century is set to form going into 2024, says the Lord. And says the Lord of hosts, titans, huffing and puffing as bulls, says the Lord, are moving into their appointed corners. A vying for dominance is not what candidates make. However, says the Lord, a surrender to the strategy I, the Lord, have put forth shall change the course of races. However, says the Lord, shall bulls huffing and puffing be tame enough to accept such? This is the hour, says the Lord. They are to decide as lines are being drawn for a clash of the titans, where carnage shall be everywhere if they do not learn to be yoked to the same yoke and till the fields of America together, says the Lord. June 4th, 2024. The title of it was Prison Doors and a Turbulent Transition. That was the title of this. Those with loose lips right now will very publicly sink their own ships that they have steered into waters of non-credibility, fallacy, lies, and putting sources and information out that are meant to confuse and cause people to put their trust in sources that are fallible rather than Almighty God, who is absolute truth. That is for the church and the government, that word. Because they done hit the iceberg, and then they backed up and they hit it again. That's what they're doing right now, both in the political and in the church. December 12th, 2024. Now, here comes the civil war and sibling war. Because David opened the door with coveting, adultery, murder, and abuse. Now, here comes the civil war and sibling war. That was December 12th, 2024. December 12th, 2023. I had had a vision that night. And I saw a vertical sign coming down, all black squares with white letters, and it spelled the name Abner. This was December 12, 2023. As I opened my eyes, I clearly heard Abner, son of Ner. Biblically speaking, Abner, the son of Ner, was the commander-in-chief of Saul's army. And in 1 Samuel 14, during this reign as king of Israel, as Saul's top general, Abner was a respected military commander and valued advisor to the king. And he held one of the highest positions of power in the nation. He played a pivotal role in his military career of David. And although he became a staunch adversary to David in his flight from King Saul, David mourned for Abner when he died, granting his former commander full honors. So as David becomes more successful and famous, his role in the army, okay, under Saul's rule, he fell under Abner's command. Now, we don't know much influence Abner had over David's life. However, Abner in some way did mentor David before he fled. And as David's popularity increased and the people of Israel began to praise David's triumph over the king's triumph, 1 Samuel 18:7, the woman sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And that caused the schism. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David was gaining more popularity than Saul. And as Saul became more corrupted and neurotic, he grew angry and suspicious of David. And before long, this tormented king viewed David's prosperity as a threat. And Saul suddenly turns on David and resolves to kill him to do away with David's ascending to the throne. His once adopted son now becomes a fugitive and an exile. His once adopted son now becomes a fugitive and an exile. Now, Abner strengthened himself in the house of Saul with this war. 2 Samuel 3:6 through 11 talks about this. It says, it came about while there was a war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now, Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hands of David. And yet today you charge me with a guilt concerning the woman. May God do so to Abner, and more so if, as the Lord has sworn to David, I do not accomplish this for him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could no longer answer Abner a word because he was afraid of him. Now, we have to understand that Ishbosheth perceives what he thought Abner did as an attempt to claim the throne and accuse Abner of sedition. And that's 2 Samuel 3:7. And sedition is conduct or speech that incites people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. Sedition is conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. There are quite a few Abners in this church situation, and there's quite a few Abners right now around the president that are switching sides. There are Abners in the church that are about to switch sides. Abners that have strengthened themselves in the house of Saul, they are going to get us in a scuffle with members of the house of Saul, and you're going to suddenly see them switch. You're going to see this as well with those around the president. Why? Because all of this is running parallel right now. You have major figures stepping down in the church. You have the head of the Church of England stepping down. You have the Vatican with a hammer trying to open a door, right? That ultimately leads to a portal. You have that going on. And then in the government right now, you have those that have been positioned like Abner strengthening themselves off of a war. Strengthening themselves off of the war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And you have those inciting right now, inciting people, and they're trying to corner President Trump by doing it, into doing what they want. That's why they started going President Elon Musk. That's why the left started saying President Elon Musk. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Same spirit trying to incite the same sedition that is happening right now around President Trump. And these two, Elon what's interesting, and Vivek, that within the word Doge is the word God, because the Doge was part of a very, I believe, pagan empire, the Roman Empire, and within the word Doge is God. And these two right now better park it and submit to the Lord if they want to be there. Because what they are doing is causing more noise, more confusion, more anger, more strife, and causing a civil war to happen and a turbulent transition where God himself is going to have to come and sift the administration within the first 3 months to deal with it. And intellectuals will do this when you don't keep them in check. This is what they'll do. Because words have power. And intellectuals are known to gaslight situations. They are known to cause dumpster fires. They are known to make wars worse because they don't know how to see to the root of it with all wisdom and common sense that comes from Almighty God. because they're too busy in the intellectual side. They can't even get to the moral or spiritual side. They over-intellectualize God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Oh, I follow the points of the religion of Christianity, but I'm not a practicing Christian. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is the Doge right now. This is what they are. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And this is what they have. And Steve Bannon is not totally wrong in what he's saying, because in a way, Elon has been given unchecked power. And Elon inside is a little boy crying for a father. He is. And to me, Vivek talks like Obama. He's like the Republican version of Obama. That's what he talks like. We have to have grown men that are supposed to be helping right now with a very delicate situation. We've got January 6th coming up to ratify the election. We've got drones in the sky the size of SUVs. And there's no really definitive answer, it seems, as to what they're exactly doing. There is talk that they're looking for radiation from dirty bombs and things like that, but you've got that going on. You've got a turbulent transition. You've got it coming out that they have been hiding the fact that Biden has been inept and incapable of leading since 2021. This makes Watergate look like child's play. It makes Watergate look like child's play. This is coming out. In the middle of it, we need these unaltered bulls to have the maturity to buck up, stand up, and shut up for a moment and be put to work where their strengths are in order to be ready to go into January. Because if we think they're going down without a fight here to ratify the election, we're kidding ourselves. I don't care the House and the Senate are red right now. I don't care. Some of them are plants. They're not going down without a fight. And if everybody can get into their little feelings on H1B1, whatever they are, visas, then you miss what's going on. They can just slither right by. Same thing in the church. Everybody gets into their little feelings right now about what's going on in Christian broadcasting, and oh, I've got evidence, and I've got this, and you've got this, and I could expose you, and I could do this. No, God's going to do it, because the Holy Spirit is grieved, and the Lord is watching carefully right now. This is a test. Not only for the church, but who's around President Trump. This is a test. And this is going to be the barometer and the plumb line and the measuring rod that's going to be dropped now. And some will stay and others will be weeded out. Because the government and the church cannot go on in the state it's in. It can't. Neither. This is why God is dealing with it simultaneously, because at the root, it's the same issue. At the root, you're dealing with the same moral problems. At the root, you're dealing with the same rebellion. At the root, you're dealing with the same greed. You're dealing with the same root that has offshoots into different areas. The church is supposed to occupy until Christ return. The church is supposed to be the standard for the world. We are not supposed to look like the world. We are not supposed to look like the Kardashians and Peyton Place, although none of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. And some of us were raised in a Jerry Springer show. And that's the truth. Some of us were. There comes a point we have to break the cycle and be the standard. There comes a point that if God gives us an enormous area in Christianity to steward, if he gives us a platform to steward, that we have to say, I want to be righteous before God in this. I don't care how I feel right now. I want to be righteous before God, and I want to allow those to come in and investigate and look around so my hands are clean. Should be the same thing in the government right now. Same thing, Elon and Vivek. Same thing. Because you want to be righteous and clean before God with the sweep that's about to happen. Righteous and clean. And I'm being blunt for a reason. Because there's no more tiptoeing around this. We have gone past the point of tiptoeing. That sucker is blown. We have to march into this and be honest and have an honest conversation. You got to be careful, Elon and Vivek, about getting involved in other people's issues. Same thing with the church. We have to be careful what we say, how we say it, because we're accountable before God for our words. So we have to remember that right now. We have to remember this in the middle of what's happening. Because God will take what he has given you to steward, and he will give it to a neighbor of yours more worthy. He did it to Saul. He tore the kingdom away from him, and he gave it to David. God will take what he's given you to steward if you become a Saul, and your heart becomes rebellious, and your ears and your spirit become closed to your shepherd and become open to crisis management and your lawyers. If you are more open to hearing what your crisis management and your lawyers have to say, and your intellectuals, President Trump, have to say, over what Almighty God, your shepherd, has to say, you have a serious problem. Houston, we have a problem. Because that is the exact opposite of the way it should be. It should be going to God first, and the counsel comes second. Secondary, not first. Secondary. You should be able to hear your shepherd louder than you hear the voices of your intellectuals, your lawyers, and your crisis managers. Because that is who can take a dumpster fire and salvage it and make something new out of it. God is the God that takes what is broken and he restores it. He is a God of the impossible. Lawyers, intellectuals, crisis managers, and people like them are not people of the impossible. They are people that try to make you look away from where the mud is. They are people that try to scare you not to look where the mess is. They are people that try to willfully redirect your attention so you don't see what's going on over there. When Saul went on the attack is when he fell by his own sword. It was Saul's own sword that killed him. Not David's. Saul's own sword. It was his own sword, Elon. It was his own sword, Vivek. It was his own sword, Christian Broadcasting. It was his own sword, Daystar. Saul's own sword did it to him. It wasn't anybody else. It was his own rebellion, ambition for the throne. And to not allow God to work the way he needed to work within the kingdom. So remember this, because it's the same. At the root, it's the same, and I just proved that. It's the same thing with the Vatican. Saul fell by his own sword, and the Vatican will fall by its own exploits. The heads of the Vatican will fall by their own exploits, by their own deals, by their own idolatry, by their own abuse. They will fall. It won't be anybody else. So this is why we all have to humble ourselves before God and walk circumspectly before him right now, because this is a time we have to walk carefully, circumspectly. We have to be careful what we say. We cannot boast we have evidence. We cannot boast who we've spoken to. We cannot boast we've gotten both sides of the story. I'm the only one, Lord. No. That's when Elijah walked into narcissism and God went, whoa. You're the only one. Oh, really? When was the last time you took a census in the kingdom? Did you go to every door? Did you knock on every door and ask them, are they for God? Are they for Baal? Because until you do, you don't know. And he said, there are 7,000 that have not bowed their knee, Elijah. You are not the only one I can use. And that put Elijah right back in his little place. Until he started calling fire from heaven and torching cohorts of soldiers. And then it was Elijah to the principal's office. Elijah to the principal's office. And here comes the chariot and he's gone. It's a good lesson for us. Don't abuse what God has given you. He checked Elijah once, put him in his place. And then Elijah went right back and started doing it his way. Me, me, me. I'm calling fire down. I'm going to decide who lives and who dies. I'm going to play God. And Elijah went to the principal's office. Because of that. That was part of it. So we have to be careful what we say right now, how we say it, what we do. Because God is watching. His eyes wander to and fro, and he is checking the hearts and the motives of people right now and why they're doing things, because motive matters to God. It matters. Your motives, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it matters. And that's the innermost parts of the chambers God is going into right now. And he's weighing and measuring why you're doing it. So remember that, commentators. Remember that, Elon. Remember that, Vivek. Remember that, the President Trump. Remember that, everybody in the church right now and what's happening. So keep that in mind. I think that's where I'm going to end for tonight. I'm still heating up. I'm talking and I just keep heating up here from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Two things at the end, very quick. So Glory in America, I am going to be there. I think we have something for it. It's in, I believe, Orlando, Florida. So they have asked me to come to Glory in America. Oh, it's Claremont, Florida, actually. But I must be near somewhere near Orlando, but I'll double check. So you can register. You can scan the QR code. But I will be there speaking. Looking very forward to this, to being part of Glory in America. So we would love to see you there. It's February 7th and 8th in Claremont, Florida. Also, we're just going to put up two quick things at the end. We have Andrew Sorcini from Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Andrew and his team are amazing. You can call them. You can email them. You can go to bh-pm.com and fill out the form. They are very well versed in commodities, in IRAs. They have our Cyrus coin that was developed about middle of this year, I think, or a third of into this year, we started developing the Cyrus coin. And so we have Cyrus Faithful Shepherd on one side, which is a picture of our German Shepherd and an ode to Isaiah 51. And on the back, it says, "In God we trust, saving grace," with the ark, with the dove, with the olive branch coming back. So you could get those from him as well. And Givaderm. I love the Givaderm ladies. They sent us some beautiful gifts for Christmas, and we so appreciate that. So you can use promo code ARC10 to save 10% off of your order. They are amazing, the products they make. They not only love the Lord and they're amazing women, they make an amazing all-natural skincare line that I use twice a day. No joke. I absolutely love it. Like I said, my husband's turned into a diva, and now he gets his own box because he was taking too many of my things. When they would come, the box would open, and Chris would go, "This is mine. This is mine." And I'm like, "Wait a second, you're taking all the products." So the Givaderm ladies have been wonderful with Chris, and they send him his own box now. Also, I want to encourage you just to keep Chris in prayer. There are some things going on right now with his mind that have been happening lately, some seizure activity, and I'm just going to ask you to pray and keep him in prayer as we deal with this and as we navigate this. And I'm talking with his doctor, but I always like to keep you updated and be transparent with you about it. So please pray. Just keep us in prayer with that. And yeah, but you know what? We go on in the Lord. God, the grace is an ability that God pours in you to endure humanly, which you could not endure on your own. It is not only we are saved by grace. Grace is an ability that God pours into you. Never forget that. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. We will be back on midweek. So look for that. There is something the Lord, I perceive to be the Lord, has been starting to show me. towards the end of the book of Matthew that is really pertinent for now. So I've been starting to take a look at that as well, and we'll see what else happens by Wednesday, because there is a whole lot of shaking going on right now, and we will be there to talk about it with you. So God bless everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalm 123, 34, 35, and 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. I say that a lot. We have to check our heart condition. We have to check where our heart is at. We have to constantly check it. So speaking that scripture, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. I implore you to do that. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19, for the believer's authority by Kenneth Hagin. I speak those scriptures every day. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. The word is living and active. We have to activate it. We have to speak it. We have to breathe it. So we have to make sure we are speaking the word. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. I encourage you to add that to your prayer life. There is a reason he taught them that way, and it's the order of that prayer that is so important for our prayer life, and to understand how we are to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Father in heaven, Almighty God. So thank you for joining us, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thank you to our team and our moderators, and we will see you midweek. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us, and so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals, kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount.